You're listening to Panel of Borders, which is an extract from Resonance FM's weekly show about the world of comics. I'm Dickon Harris, and this week's episode is the first of a series looking at comic book publishing. In today's show, we have three interviews I recorded with small press creators at the Brighton Zine Fest and at the Zine Age Kicks event at Trap 2 Gallery in London. First up, I'm talking to Jimmy Gherkin about his new zine, Electric Baby, which is a guide for zine and comic creators on how to screen print and self-publish your own comics. We're also talking about the upcoming anthology he's editing and how you can submit items to be included. Later in the show, I'm talking to Dutch artist Kayla Newman about her zine, Impulsive Random Platform, IRP, which she creates with fellow students from the Slade School of Art. And I'll also be talking to George Cullen about his self-published title, Throwaway, which mixes cryptography with typography to beguiling effect. First, though, here's a word from our sponsors.
Resonance FM is London's only non-profit community radio art station, who need your donations to help keep the station and podcasts on air. All the program makers and all the engineers all work for free to bring you shows as diverse as The Bike Show, The Free University of the Airways, Hooting Yard, Speakers Resonance Corner, FM accepts donations in the form of cheques, credit and debit cards, radio, bank transfers, PayPal and cash. Go to www.resonancefm.com for more details. We also accept hobnobs and teabags. Your donation means our continued existence.
Hello, my name's Dickon Harris, and I'm here at the Brighton Zine Fest with Jimmy Gherkin. Jimmy, as well as being an illustrator and comic book writer, Jimmy just finished hosting the Alternative Press Fair, which was held in St. Aloysius Club.
A few weeks ago, on the 2nd of February, we had that event, and we're going to be doing another one in about 6 months' time, hopefully. Yeah, it was a great event. Since going to all of these events, like Brighton Zine Fest, London Zine Symposium, and, you know, Comics Thing and some other smaller events, you know, I've really seen how necessary these kind of events are for people to get their stuff out there, because obviously it's not stocked on the shelves of your local bookshop or comic shop even nowadays. Like, it's hard for people to get their small press comics into the comic shops. So coming to these events, meeting people and seeing what's going on, learning about distribution and stuff, and people like Blank Slate and stuff, people that are kind of trying to get back into distributing small press stuff, is totally crucial for people who are trying to get their work out there, you know, and trying to do it themselves. You know, there needs to be these kind of events. So that's the kind of thing that we're trying to do with the Alternative Press Fair. It's just try and help people to get their stuff out there, whether they're making comics or zines or, you know, radical literature, pamphlets, information, stuff like that. But as long as people are doing it themselves, that's the main thing we're trying to do. And second to that, with the Alternative Press Fair, what we're trying to do is get out to an audience that might not know about small press and independent publishing and self-publishing, you know, because I think there's a lot of people out there who have creative needs and desires, but they have no outlet because of the way society works. You know, they think they need to get accepted. You know, an illustrator thinks he needs to send his work off and get accepted by some magazine before he's a bona fide illustrator, or a writer might think that he needs to be accepted by a publisher. But it's not like that, as we all know from the small press. Like, you can do it yourself, and that's what we're trying to show people who don't know what's going on, that you can do it yourself. You know?
Absolutely. I mean, even a muggins like me has managed to put together a comic, so I'll put someone out there for the first one.
Yeah, it was a good book as well, man. I really liked it. It's funny. And there's tons of other much smaller distributors out there. Like, there's these guys in there called Corn Dog Distribution, and, you know, they're distributing tons of titles, you know, and there's loads of guys out there who are distributing stuff just out of their bedrooms, man. You know, they're kind of running distros online, or even they're doing a zine themselves, and in the back of their zine they'll put a list of titles that people can get in touch with them to buy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, going to these events is one way of meeting all those guys. I mean, you can find out about them on the internet and get in touch with them, which is just as good, which is a good way of doing it. But, I mean, actually going meeting these guys, seeing what they're putting out, and learning how the scene works is a good way, I think, for someone who is getting started, as someone who's putting stuff out and doesn't know how to get it out there, come to an event, you know.
Okay, so let's say I don't know really where to start looking for this kind of stuff. Where do you recommend is the first place to look if I want to find out about an event to go to? Because, I mean, I know your one's just finished, the Alternative Press Fair.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm on Google now, so what would I click in?
You could Google Alternative Press, or you could type in our website. We've got links on there to other events. That's comicsandzines.wordpress.com, or you can Google Zine Symposium. They're a massive event in London, and they have links to literally like tons of events. Also, for more comic-based events. I guess, you know, you guys talk about Paul Gravett all the time, you know, and he does a great job of promoting what's going on, you know, and on his website he's got tons of links to events and stuff, so that's some way of doing it, you know, if you're on the internet, like, kind of thing.
Okay, sure. I mean, I know you're really involved with sort of the, especially organising the last event, but tell me about some of the actual personal projects you're doing, because, you know, you're putting your zine, you're putting your comic out there as well, so just tell me a bit about that.
Next, I'm working on a zine which is going to involve comics, like comic, it's going to have comic strips in it, but it's not going to be a comic from front to front, it's going to be a zine, so therefore it's going to contain a couple of reviews, because there's been some excellent comics out in the last few months, and I want to be able to review those and tell people that they're out there, and as well as it's going to have a how-to on screen printing. Like, I mean, it's not going to cover the whole subject of screen printing. It's called How I Screen Print at Home, and basically it's just the way I do it, because I do it in my bathroom, and it can be seen as being quite a complex process, screen printing, but if you know how to do it with some simple tools, you can do it at home quite easily. So I'm going to put that in there, and I'm going to do a couple of strips as well, like just optimistic stuff about life, you know, and it's going to be called Jimmy Gherkin's Electric Baby, and that's my own project that I'm working on. I've been working on it for quite a while, but hopefully it'll be finished by April. I'll be able to have it at the London Zine Symposium.
Okay, cool.
But myself and Peter Lally, who worked together on the Alternative Press Fair, are going to be putting a book together, the Alternative Press Anthology, and that's going to be like an 80-page, full-colour, bound book. We're going to have a barcode, we're going to go to town on it, you know, and we're going to try and cover as much of the small press scene as we can, comics, zines, illustrative journals, radical literature, anything that's involved in self-publishing, we're going to try and cover in there. And we're going to try and put together a really nice looking book, a book that reads well and that people can enjoy, so that it, you know, attracts the audience from outside the scene, like I was saying before. But also we want it to kind of be, we want it to have an element of a handbook to it, you know, like, so that people who are reading it can kind of get some ideas on how they can get started themselves. In the back, we're going to have a list of artists, contact information, distributors, shops and events, so that people who have the book can use that as a kind of resource, you know. And, you know, our aim is to kind of get as many people into the scene as possible, you know. Well, like, we want it be, to be a totally inclusive thing, you know.
I mean, that sounds like a fantastic project. Are you going to restrict it to one page per submission for each illustrator, or...?
We've had a lot of questions about that. I mean, we're obviously going to be restricted because we've only got 80 pages, and there's... Like, you know, there's hundreds of guys out there, hundreds of people out there doing stuff. So we obviously, you know, we couldn't even give everyone one page if we wanted to. So what I'm asking people to do is to email me with their ideas of what they want to do. And if somebody's got an idea which, you know, we think is really going to be helpful to people who are going to read the book, or they're really, the people who read the book are going to really enjoy it, then, and they say, look, it's three pages, then, you know, we'll put it in, you know. Okay. If other guys want to do one page and they send it to us, or half a page or a quarter of a page even, we could, like, we're going to put stuff together so that we can fit as much in as possible, but so that we get the best, you know, what we think is the best of the bunch. I mean, because it's only our opinion at the end of the day. But like I said, we want to kind of cover as much of the scene as possible, you know, not just, we don't just want it to be a comics or an illustration book. That's where we are kind of coming from, because we do our own comics and stuff. Peter's involved in the Bedsit Journal. And I've got my own comics, but we want it to involve a lot of the other written stuff as well, you know, that we were talking about before, as well as art books and stuff like that.
It's pretty inclusive then, and this is the full whammy, the everything, and lots of contact details as well. I mean, it's I suppose, from my point of view, how I see it, it seems there are quite a few anthologies out there, not nearly as big, and they seem to be sort of geographically based, you know, sort of three or four mates, like... Things like Decadence is an anthology with just two people. But I suppose you guys are really putting the tender out there. You know, if you want to get involved with this, you know, come email you. So how? So let's say someone's listened to this now, got inspired and wants to get involved. What do they do?
Just email me. Just Google Jimmy Gherkin. It's Jimmy with two I's and one M. So like J-I-M-I, Gherkin at yahoo.co.uk. They can email me there, or just Google Jimmy Gherkin and they'll find like my MySpace page, or... become my friend on Facebook or whatever, and contact me like that, and I'll be in touch, or check out the website, like I was saying before, comicsandzines.wordpress.com, and you know, we'll try and get as much in as possible. Like what you were saying is quite interesting about the geographical aspect of it, because although we're going to look at, if people send stuff from abroad or whatever, we're going to look at that stuff. But we were talking before, Peter and I were talking about, you know, what we want to represent, and we want to represent as much of the scene as possible, but we can't obviously represent the whole world. So, you know, we're probably going to keep it the UK,
okay.
You know, and, you know, and see where we go from there, you know.
When do you need to have, at least get in contact, or when do you need to put stuff through?
At the end of April, we're going to sit down, and we've got a couple of other people as well who are going to be involved in looking over the work.
Can you name anybody here, like we know?
Yeah, Gareth Brooks.
Yeah, okay.
Said he wants to be involved.
It's the Man creator.
Yeah, he's going to be involved. And Shaban Kazim, I don't know if you've heard of him, he does comics called Baba. They're about his dad. And he's got a new comic out called Crappy D Stories about his work at McDonald's.
Okay.
Him. And there's a few other people as well who offered their support and stuff. And basically, at the end of April, we hope to have had a few meetings by the end of April with all these guys to discuss what jobs everyone's going to do. And then at the end of April, we're going to go through the work. And because we hope to have the book out in 6 months' time. So we think end of April is a good deadline for people to get stuff to us. And it gives us enough time to get the work together, get it off to the printers, and get it out there, you know.
Thanks a lot, Jimmy. Really appreciate the time spent. And we'll be looking forward to hearing about the anthology. And if you're listening out there, you know, get scribbling, because this, you know, this book will go to press.
Cool. Thanks a lot. See you later, everyone. Bye.
Hi, my name is Dickon Harris. I'm here at the Brighton Zine Fest. I'm sitting here with
Impulsive Random Platform, IRP. My name is Carla.
Okay, fantastic. Now, first of all, Carla, where are you from?
I'm from the Netherlands, but I live in London.
It's the whole of the collective, because it's a collective magazine, isn't it?
There's an American girl and a Scottish boy, so international.
International Comic Press, this is fantastic. Tell me a little bit more about IRP.
Yeah, so it's a little platform for artists to show their work in a different way besides the gallery or a book or everything. So it kind of started out of frustration, because we're all artists and we graduated at this late. And we were frustrated about the way that you always have to show your art in a certain way. And we wanted to find different ways to display your art. So this came out of it. And we just all really love, you know, making books or little things and printing. And we photocopy IRP. So this one is, what you're holding now is a screen printed issue. And sometimes we do different things, but mostly it's photocopy.
Okay, now this is quite impressive, because if I open this up now, it looks A5. Presented, but you open it up and it's a massive A2 screen print poster, and on the back of which you have various panels, illustrations, musing, stories, ideas, I mean the full works. What I like about this is that you guys seem to have quite like you said, it's a platform, but it's various different issues and they're theme based. I mean, this one's a sort of screen print, but...
Yeah, they're not theme-based, but they're probably based on the way that we do them. Like, the next one that's coming up is going to be a live issue, so performance art. And then also we did a DVD issue, so we had a screening night, and then it's all these different ways. It doesn't necessarily have to be the printed, photocopied, folded way of how we do it. Yeah.
Okay, well that's the classic sort of staple of the small press. Tell me something, you mentioned the DVD issue. Now, I don't actually have a copy of that, sadly, but what is that exactly?
So it's actually just a normal issue, but we included a DVD, and there are four different DVDs. So on each DVD, there's four videos of artists. So there are they're all like art-based films. And if you collect all of them, then you have 10 different artist films. Yeah, it's just another way again, because we know quite a lot of people who work with the medium DVD. And next to that, we also did another issue with a CD. So that's the music part again. So every time something else comes up.
There's this one, there's a DVD issue, there's the live performance one, which is quite a live performance zine I'm quite impressed with. I mean, I suppose zine's the wrong word to describe it.
Well, it is, like in the title, it says Impulsive Random Platform. So it's basically a platform and whatever can happen. And what I said before, we don't work with subject teams. So it's never about a certain subject. But yeah, it's more the medium that holds it together than anything else.
when you're not sort of at the Brighton Festival, what art in particular do you do?
Besides RP, I'm an artist myself, and I do installation kind of things. And I think that's probably also where it came from, because I have so many different media that I use in my own work that it sometimes is really difficult about how do you present your work. And there's so many different ways that I can present my work. So that's, I guess that kind of has to do with that as well. We're thinking also as well to something besides the issue, maybe do postcards or posters or things like that, which is also, again, another way of showing your work.
Okay, tell me a bit more about the installation stuff. I mean, what exactly, if you had to describe some of the pieces you do?
Well, they're all kind of collage-based pieces. Sometimes I build spaces out of cardboard, so it's the paper again, and kind of recycled products. And so I create spaces that react on the actual buildings where the space is, or sometimes it's spaces that are outside, and it's all about being inside the space, and sometimes there's work in it and sometimes there isn't. And the work that could be in it are kind of like small comments on society, if you want to say it like that.
Okay, so I'm just trying to paint a picture for myself as well as listeners. So the last installation, you pick a particular venue and then maybe a gallery or just outside, and then do you create a sort of a cardboard structure?
Yeah.
Like a house or?
Well, the first one I did was a castle. So it's kind of like a playhouse, and I used it as my studio as well. And the last big one I did was during my degree show. But it's quite difficult to build big installations all the time. So I'm thinking about a new one, which could be in a gallery space, and which is they're always based on the place where it is. So it's, when I say it reacts to the space, sometimes it mimics the space, but just with 5 centimeters distance from the real walls. So in that way, it's something I built once, and then after that, it has to go again.
As I understand this then, you built a cardboard castle, which you use as an art studio.
Yeah.
How long did you actually live in it, or do you just work in it? I mean, how did you stop it from getting wet?
It was in the studio of the slate, so it was inside.
Okay.
So that makes it easier. I used that for a month or something. But I'm thinking about trying to create something that can actually be outside, but I'm going to try it out with smaller things, making it waterproof, the cardboard.
I like the idea of you living in a cardboard castle. I mean, yeah. I don't know any friends who live in a cardboard castle, but I do now, or have done briefly.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be good if that will ever happen. But
okay. So where do you pick your venues, roughly? What was the last couple of installations? Because I know there are inside studios.
Basically, the last ones all had to do with the Slate, where I studied, because that's where I had my studio. And I graduated last June, and since then I haven't done a big one yet. The next one that is either going to be in a studio of a friend, and we'll do something together, or it's going to be in a gallery. But it's still all, you know, nothing is set yet, so...
It's quite easy to get hold of your stuff now, because you've got a couple of contact details here. So, I mean, I think the easiest place would be, where's the best place? Your MySpace page, or...?
MySpace is a good one. It's MySpace/RIP Magazine. But we have a few shops in London as well.
Oh, really? Which ones?
There's one on Brick Lane called Nick and Leon. Okay. Dunland Bookshop. He has a shop in Broadway Market and one close to the Heathrow Road. And we sell something in Scotland and in Amsterdam and in America. So we're trying to, you know, spread it internationally as well. And we always invite people from outside of England as well to submit work. So, but we're still, you know, working on that, trying to spread more.
Spread more. Well, fantastic. I mean, no, I'm a big fan of the stuff, and, you know, best of luck. You know, this is, thanks a lot for your time.
Yeah, thank you as well.
Hello, my name's Dickon Harris. I'm here at Trap 2 Gallery in London. We're here for the Zine Age Kicks. Zine Age Teen Kicks. I'm sitting on a doorstep outside the main event with George.
Hiya, it's George Cullen.
Basically, to paint the scene, this is one of those sort of art gallery spaces.
Yeah, it's kind of like a warehouse type building in a... Well, it's a kind of like a warehousey bit in Viner Street, where it's part of Time Out Thursday, where all the galleries have like arts events and people come and mingle, wander in and out, and walk through this dusty kind of dusty building where everyone's got their little stands and showing all their artworks, really.
Fantastic. And the underground zine scene has taken over this particular space, Trap 2. Now, I've taken George away from his store. You know, he's been very obliging. You've got some really nice stuff here, George. Just tell us kind of like, I know, what kind of stuff do you actually do?
Graphic design graduate, so I'm quite interested in typographic things, code works, and creating fonts and things that people could look into and find like double meanings to, and have to use a bit of effort to kind of decode really and work out their meaning.
Okay, well, we're going to do the impossible and try and describe an illustration, but this one here is this one I sort of picked up. It's called Don't. And what you've taken out text.
Yeah, well, I've used the spaces in between the... It's kind of hard to describe. In the middle of... So you've got the line of the text, and I've worked the spaces around so that it can only be deciphered by putting over blocks, so that the whole thing becomes a text that can't be read but can be read if you decipher it. So it's like an alien type words, but you have to use your mind to kind of work it out.
Basically a series of blocks, which looks like an illustration, but as soon as you put a piece of paper over it with special cut-out squares, then all the spaces turn into words. And I haven't had the heart yet to rip off the front cover, so I don't know what it says, but is it a story?
Well, it basically outlines what I've done. So it says, this is an experiment in type space, and then I've done every character of the alphabet, so you can see how each alphabet works. And then it says, this is a type you can't read at the end. So it's kind of a play on words, as you can't read it, but you have to find it out.
Okay, well, beautiful to look at, I have to say. Now, I've picked up something else as well, which is this is the throwaway issue. Describe this to me.
Well, throwaway was something that I started to actually kick me off into the zine world, because I'd never really done anything before and I wanted something to be kind of, well, my platform to work from. So we got issue 5 here that it's called Edit. And I wanted it to be something that would evolve as people worked into it. So it's full of blank illustrations and lines to write on. And I've attached a little pencil in there so that you can edit, basically. And I wanted it to be something that grew as people worked into it. It came from an idea that I had from a book project. So.
You got some sort of really elaborate patterns here. They're just very abstract patterns with sort of text in the middle, separate booklet to guide you, with a pencil actually threaded through the front cover, so which
it's
just stands there.
Part of the actual zine. I wanted it to be a part of it. So.
If you think where a zine started from, you know, the punk era. I mean, this is kind of sort of veering away from this. This is sort of like zines as art pieces almost.
Yeah, I kind of like to come from an art angle. Didn't embed them with like politics and things like that. I just have these ideas and I want to make them, and I think if I can share them with someone else, then they might appreciate them in a way. So it's kind of sharing my ideas.
Fair enough. I mean, I'm just curious because there's quite a variety of stuff here today. There's the stuff from the feminist literature here, there's some sort of radical literature, and on the other spectrum you've got a lot of illustration, and then these things where the sort of the book is medium, book is sort of art piece itself, so it becomes very blurred. So you've got one book, which I really like, and the actual pencil is the thing that binds it. So you've got holes to keep the pages, the pencil threads it through, and once you take the pencil out, the book falls apart. You know, that's very different from sort of a means of mass media to sort of get the message across. This is, you know, there may be only 3 or 4 of these things ever. Yeah. It's sort of taking the zine, how do I phrase it again? It's making the zine personal.
Yeah, it's kind of like a limited edition, only a few people can really appreciate. But I don't know, I like to bring them along so people can look, and if they want them, they can take them away. And I don't know, it makes it more personal for me, because then I have like a connection, and it's not so mass produced and thrown about. But in a way, I don't know, the zine is quite interesting as a platform to get your ideas everywhere, whereas kind of art books and that type of thing is more kind of a connection with the person who buys it, because they'd definitely have that like personal attachment to what you give them.
One issue that's kind of gets zinesters into a twist is the issue of on selling. There's a sort of mixed philosophy here where the zine scene seems quite relaxed. You know, spread the love, share your work, you know, either through swaps or, you know, sort of through basically production costs, and that's it. But then, how do you feel about people, I don't know, perhaps buying your zine, like this one, and then selling it on for, I don't know, say a tenner somewhere else?
I don't know, if they bought it from me, I wouldn't really appreciate them selling it on for more. It seems slightly unfair, but I don't mind. Like, I think swapping is art for art, so you're getting something for something that you wouldn't have, because, I don't know, you can't do much with money except for spend it, but if you have have someone else's ideas, it's like currency anyway.
So you've heard that now. If you buy your George's piece and sell it on, he'll burn your house down.
No, I'm not that angry. I just feel like, what are you doing selling it for more if I could sell it for more?
Don't even think about it, people. That's what the message is here.
Yeah, true.
It's been fantastic that people do a lot of swaps. Would you say half the stuff you swap, or is it, do you tend to do that quite a lot? Or
yeah, I've been swapping quite a lot throughout the evening. I think more swaps than selling, because I think it's easier for people to swap because they've gone into the effort of producing things, so they're willing to trade you for something that you put in the effort for. So you kind of, you're on the same level for giving.
I understand what you mean. I mean, I've seen people almost unwillingly hand over their zine for people who are paying a fiver, but they happily swap it for somebody who's done, I don't know, a handmade sketchbook or something.
Yeah, because it's effort for effort, really. Because if someone puts time into something, you're more willing to trade something that you put time into. It's more, I don't know, rewarding in a way than selling it. So,
Jeremy, let's focus on your next big thing. I mean, you've got quite a lot of books here. I mean, how long does all this take you? Because is this over a particular period or?
I started at the end of last year, so the idea's really come at me, but it's actually putting it into practice and having time to actually do it. But I don't know, zines I feel are more instant than bookworks, because bookworks take time and you have to spend time working out binding and things like that. But zines are a little bit more instant, so you have your idea, you do drawings, you do type works, and then you're kind of away, photocopy, and you're done. You just put a few staples in and out it goes.
That's kindly disingenuous, because I remember you've actually put cocoa powder into one of your pages.
Yeah.
Well, tell me about that, because I love the idea.
Well, that was more of a in-depth book work, so I did put a lot of time, so there were prints. When I do have time, I quite like to get into printing, spending a bit of time in making the pages, so they're like a few like limited edition type things, and I do like to spend time working on one idea, but then that reflects in the zine you have instant, the books you have more time over, it's a bit different.
What's your next project?
I have a few ideas mingling around. I'm starting a altered book, because I've just got into altered books from a project from uni. And I like tearing things apart and making something new. And I'm working on something where I'm getting people to send me lots of stuff from all over the world. So I'm kind of making myself a hub for people to send their reactions to things that they find all over the world. And I'm starting to compile that together and make something from it. So that's where my next scene is heading.
Okay, well, let's say we've got a listener here in Malawi, and he wants to send you over something across. Where would he do it?
I have a website. If you go to georgecullen.com, that will get you to my email. So, yeah, if you're willing to send me stuff, just get in contact with me.
Let's just spell it out for people out there. That's George Cullen, C-U-L-L-E-N.
Yeah, that's it.
.com?
Yeah, that's it. And that will find my webpage, which is kind of under construction, but my email's there, so get in touch.
Fantastic. Well, thanks a lot, George. Great luck tonight, and lovely to meet you.
Thank you very much. Nice to meet you.
For more information about all of the creators I've talked to on this week's show, please visit our blog at www.panelborders.wordpress.com, which also includes information on how to contribute to Jimmy Kirkin's new anthology that hopes to cover the entire world of small press self-publishing. So definitely something to get involved with. Thanks for listening.